Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am thrilled, seriously thrilled, especially for so many of you lady listeners, that we have Dr. Isabella Wentz on the show. She is the author, and if you've been following me at all on social media, on any of my social media platforms for a while, you are very familiar with the fact that I have Hashimoto's. I've had hypothyroidism and discovered it was Hashimoto's probably in the past year or so. But I've been doing a lot of research on it, and that's what really helped me to make significant progress in my journey to get better from this situation, for lack of a better way of calling it. I call it a situation that can really be devastating. It can be something where, in my case, the more I cleaned up my diet, the more I focused on my training, the more I worked hard, it seemed, the thicker I was getting around my middle. My core was getting thick. I had belly fat when I'd never had belly fat before. And it seemed to be such a tease. And I know so many women that are listening, that are part of our Fitfluential community, have these symptoms. They haven't found an answer. They've talked to their doctor and they're not getting answers. And we discussed that on the show because Isabella also, when she first started becoming symptomatic back in 2009, she was running into the same issues. And what I have to tell everybody before we dive into the interview is I purchased her first book, which is the title Hashimoto's Thyroiditis. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Lifestyle Interventions for Finding and Treating the Root Cause. And then she has a new book out that just came out recently, Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back. She also has a website that will blow your mind as far as information and education. But I bought her book a couple years ago, and I remember how surprised I was that there was not a wealth of information on either hypothyroidism in general or Hashimoto's. And when I got her book, not only was I excited because it was one of the few that was out there, but the level of research and detail she has put into this book is exceptional. So I'm very thrilled that I was able to get her on the show. On one hand, half an hour with Isabella is like barely scratching the surface, but I think you'll definitely learn a lot. I think a lot of women that are listening to this episode are going to walk away from the show encouraged because they're going to go, she has it. That's exactly what I have. That's exactly what I'm experiencing with my doctor. And then you're going to be gifted with discovering this woman who has made it her life's work to help people find their own cure, or it's probably not the best word, find their own way of dealing with Hashimoto's. And again, she stresses in this interview, it's individual for each one of us. So I know you're gonna love listening to her, learning from her, and you're gonna wanna dive in and learn more from her after the show. But for now, sit back and enjoy this interview with Dr. Isabella Wentz. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. And today on the show, as I raved about in my introduction, we have somebody I'm going to geek out on this. I'm going to tell you, I'm a huge fan. I have both of her books, Dr. Isabella Wentz. Isabella, welcome to the show. I know I only have you for 30 minutes today. I want to get the most out of this interview. So we are going to dive right in. I told folks about you and your background and your books in the intro, but I always like to start when I have guests on for the first time, asking them, you know, in most cases, how did you start down a journey to better health or better fitness? How did you become interested in your athletic endeavors? You know, I think it's so interesting to hear what and when got folks started down a healthier path. In your case, you know, you actually began writing about and educating and helping women with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism and autoimmune diseases because you were first dealing with some serious, serious health issues. So before we dive into that, tell us your story.
Sure. So in full disclosure, I was never really interested in the thyroid gland during pharmacy school and even after I graduated. That was just not a really big interest of mine. And it wasn't until I was diagnosed myself with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism in 2009, after almost a decade of some confusing symptoms, is when I really became a Hashimoto's expert slash human guinea pig. And it was really meant at the reason why I became so interested in this condition and why I'm the thyroid pharmacist now and have written two books on the subject and have created a documentary and just focused my entire professional career on helping people with this condition is because I really know what it's like to struggle with a thyroid condition and to not get the answers that you're looking for. So I started off with chronic fatigue syndrome, sleeping from anywhere from 12 to 14 hours a night. This started when I was in my first year in undergrad. That progressed into irritable bowel syndrome, panic attacks, acid reflux, carpal tunnel in both arms, joint pains, panic attacks, hair loss, and allergies. And every year, I felt like I was losing more and more of myself, where by the time I was in my mid-20s, I was going to work, coming home from work, sitting on my couch, eating something, and falling asleep. And my life was really limited. I was going to doctors, and I was saying, hey, there's something wrong with me. What's going on here? And they would either tell me that I was depressed, that I was too stressed out, or one doctor told me that I was just getting older. And of course, this was silly because I was 25 at the time. And I know I just talked to somebody who was 70 and they were like, okay, I don't think I should be feeling this way because I used to feel just fine 5 years ago. Is this really old age? And that's what people oftentimes hear, whether they're 25, 35, 65. And we shouldn't feel horrible. We should not feel exhausted.
So true. And I'm telling you, for everybody that's listening, first of all, most of those symptoms I have dealt with. And I'm so glad you shared that for you, it was in your 20s, because I'm always taking notes when I'm interviewing people, a lot of the myth understandings that are out there, I want to address. And one of them is that this is something, thyroid happens when you're older. It happens after you've had kids. It doesn't. I have several friends and we have a lot of women in the Fitfluential community. I mean, I don't even want to say a lot. Hundreds. We're getting more and more letters. And I think we're getting more people writing in because I've shared very publicly my journey. And I'm only this year, after 2 years of treatment with bioidentical hormones, frankly, it's a lot of the advice that you gave in your book. I mean, I have it, underlined and book-eared and bookmarked with so many things, it's ridiculous. But yeah, this is something for everybody listening. If you've got these symptoms and you think that you have something, I hesitate to say don't listen to your doctor, but the reality is, Isabella, most people that I've talked to have said exactly that they've gone to a doctor or an endocrinologist or some kind of specialist, and they've been told, you're just depressed. Here's a diet pill. In fact, my friend Sherry just said that the other day. Her doctor said, take a diet pill. We're going to keep testing your blood, but I don't think you have a problem. Take this diet pill, take some Xanax, and you'll be fine. Is that something that you've seen as well in the treatment, in the clients that you work with?
Yeah, unfortunately. So people will be prescribed antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications. They'll be given acid reflux medications, stimulants. So I've seen people who were prescribed antipsychotic medications, medications for bipolar disorder, all these different treatments. And they're just really, I don't even want to use the word treatments. They're medications that offer band-aid solutions because they're not getting to their root cause. A lot of these symptoms, they could be symptoms of thyroid disease. And we see, unfortunately, women having miscarriages. They have trouble with losing weight. So a lot of times they may be exercising and eating really well, and they just cannot shed a pound, and they keep gaining more and more weight. And they're often told that they're lazy or depressed or something's wrong with them. That is not physically related. They say they have fork to mouth disease or something other ridiculous like that. And the reason is because most doctors don't run the right tests. And even if they do run the right tests, they don't necessarily know how to interpret them and what to do once they get these lab alterations that occur with thyroid disease.
You've hit on so many of the things I had in my notes to ask you. So I'm trying to make sure I go down this path for those that are listening, because I'm already down this path and I'm ahead of some of the people that are listening as far as what I've learned from you. And, you know, I'm looking at your two books. The first book that I bought was when I finally knew I had been diagnosed through my blood work with Hashimoto's. You know, at first it was just, oh, you're hypothyroid, and then it's Hashimoto's, which I understand now most people have. But your first book is Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, The Root Cause. And then your most recent book is Hashimoto's Protocol, A 90-Day Plan for Reversing Thyroid Symptoms and Getting Your Life Back. The reason that I'm bringing this up, for those of you that are listening, is there's legions of women out there that are experiencing all these symptoms that are going through just what you said, Isabella. They're seeing doctors. They're being told hand to mouth, oh, you just need to eat less. Basically, they're being dismissed. And they probably have friends and family that are shaking their head going, oh, sure, you have a thyroid problem. Why don't you just stop eating? And there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. So for those people that are in that phase, and you mentioned you've got to have the right blood work, and you've got to have a doctor or somebody that can help you, you know, down the path and to figure out not only that you have this, but then how you treat it, because it's going to be different for every individual. So when you went from writing your first book to now what you have is you've got an actual plan that you've based a lot of client work on that helps women attack this issue. And my question for you is, for people that are listening that are in this situation where they're lost and they suspect they have Hashimoto's or they've had the blood work, how do they start? You know, how do they find a right doctor? And is this something that, I mean, I can recommend more strongly than I've ever recommended anything? If you have Hashimoto's, you need to buy both of these books. She didn't tell me to say that. Both of these books are the most well-researched, well-detailed, extraordinarily helpful, insightful guides out there on Hashimoto's that I've seen, bar none, period. So I think everybody should get these books. They obviously should go to your website. And I think that you're just probably like the authority on this subject. But what do you say to everybody? If I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and I don't know how to find a doctor, do they need to find the right doctor? Or is it just, hey, if you've got your blood work, start. I know that's one of the things you talk about in your book is let's look at your diet. Let's look at your lifestyle habits. What can we start changing there? And it's a process. What do you say to everybody that just needs to get started? What do you suggest?
If you're just looking to get started, one of the really great places to start on your own is starting with your nutrition and start with food. We see gluten, dairy, and soy are the three most reactive foods for people with Hashimoto's. About 80% of people feel significantly better when they go on a gluten-free diet. I was just talking to somebody today who had fatigue and had a whole host of stomach symptoms and brain fog, and he had been gluten-free for about 2 weeks and noticed a significant change in his energy levels. And people will say that their mood improves, they're able to lose weight without effort, and they have more energy when they go gluten-free. Dairy is another really big trigger. So 80% of people with Hashimoto's are going to be very dairy sensitive. And oftentimes that can lead to a lot of skin issues, acid reflux, bloating, irritable bowel syndrome, can lead to the formation of the thyroid antibodies that attack the thyroid gland and eventually lead to hypothyroidism. And so getting off of dairy can actually produce a big remission of symptoms. And soy is another common reactive food. So really starting that is a really fantastic place to start for yourself, and getting any kind of recipes online or getting some gluten-free cookbooks, dairy-free cookbooks, this would be a fantastic place to start, because this is something that you have full control over, is what you put in your body, right? And other than that, you know, recommending with finding a physician or a practitioner that's well-versed in Hashimoto's, you can go through your traditional doctor to get the tests done. So you would want to get thyroid antibody tests, TPO and TG antibodies. These are going to be, you know, elevated for 10 years before we actually see a change in TSH, which is the usual test that doctors run. And most doctors can run that for you, or you can go through a lab like Ulta Lab and run those tests yourself. As far as working with somebody that can really, really help you, I would work with, rather than an endocrinologist, I would actually work with a practitioner that's trained in integrative medicine and that's trained in utilizing different types of thyroid hormones. One of the most commonly prescribed drugs in the United States, it was the number one prescribed drug out of every drug in two of the last 3 years, is Synthroid, and that's synthetic thyroid hormone. And that's going to be used for people with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism. But for many people, that drug just doesn't seem to work properly. So their numbers will look fine to the endocrinologist and the doctor that's giving them the medication and measuring all the lab values, but people do not properly utilize the drug in some cases. It's known as a prodrug, and it needs to be converted to T3, an active thyroid hormone. And in some people, that does not happen. And so rather than trying to work with a doctor that only knows how to use one specific medication for treating your thyroid, I recommend working with generally it's going to be an integrative practitioner that's well-versed in natural desiccated thyroid options in T3, T4, as well as compounded medications. The way that I recommend finding that person is you can go to my website, Thyroid Pharmacist, under resources. You can call your local compounding pharmacy and ask them which doctor they recommend that's well-versed in thyroid. Or you can check out the Institute of Functional Medicine, where these doctors are generally going to be more open-minded and more well-versed in the different treatment modalities. And generally, a doctor that is well-versed in these treatment modalities should also be well-versed in the root cause approach and figuring out what's causing your condition and trying to get to the underlying triggers and helping you dial that in. If for many people the triggers are food and food alone, for other people the triggers go a bit deeper.
You hit on so many things, and I just pulled up your website while we're talking. So everybody that's listening, I mean, I'm putting it out there. I'm sure you figured out I'm hugely biased. I am such a huge fan of Isabella. When I first started doing my research on Hashimoto's, I was so surprised. I thought I would go to Amazon and that I'd type in Hashimoto's and there would be, you know, 20 best-selling authors that were great. And there was, I struggled a while back then until I found your book. And then I remember when I got it, I'm like, this is, I mean, it's intense. It's like, let's see, I'm looking at it. It's like 400 pages. And it's packed with, I mean, you'll just devour it. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. And I want to go back to two points that you make. We'll come back to the triggers, but specifically when you talk about Synthroid, and right now I'm on Naturethroid. I've been on Naturethroid in various dosages, since I started. And I am obviously not a specialist, but I'm curious if so much of what you talk about in your book and on your website, which guys and girls, we'll link up to everything that Isabella mentioned and in the show notes. You've got to go to her website. You could learn so much just from the website, but you have to get her books as well. I promise you. I'm curious about, I've always felt when I read your books, there's so much in there about supplementation. There's so much in there about lifestyle, so much in there about food. And for me, yes, dairy slays me. I haven't used soy in forever. I'm a little bit more okay tolerating some, like very minimal gluten, but I try to avoid it. And I've noticed that if I reintroduce those foods, especially dairy, horrible side effects. I've always felt, and this is just my gut feeling, I feel like the Naturethroid doesn't do anything for me. And I'm curious if you, have you ever had any of your patients, I'm using air quotes, solve their hypothyroid or their Hashimoto's issues without a synthetic hormone or without Naturethroid or T3, a combination? I know you go into great detail in your book. Do you think that's necessary? And is my gut feeling wrong when I'm like, I really don't feel like the Naturethroid does anything? I think it's more my lifestyle choices. And I'm totally open to whatever you say.
So yeah, it's really interesting, and it really does depend on the person. And that's why I have so many different options in my books, and I give people assessments to help them individualize things. So I did a survey of over 2,000 people with Hashimoto's, and by far the favorite drug, the most helpful medication out of all thyroid medication, was natural desiccated thyroid. So patients just felt significantly better on natural desiccated thyroid, and some of the brands are Nature Throid, WP Armor, compared to synthetic thyroid, which just generally contains T4. And here's the interesting thing. Getting off of specific reactive foods like gluten and dairy, that people reported that was more effective in terms of symptom resolution than even the natural desiccated thyroid. So people said that, for example, going gluten-free helped their mood and energy and helped them lose more weight than getting their thyroid hormone levels optimized by using natural desiccated thyroid. Now, I personally believe that we want to take every single approach that we can utilize to our benefit. So if we have if our body's not making enough thyroid hormone, then we should definitely take some. That's my personal belief. But at the same time, I feel like lifestyle is so, so critical with this, that if you were just to take thyroid hormone, oftentimes you're not going to feel good. You might feel slightly better, and you're not going to be doing anything to slow down the progression of the condition. While using the lifestyle changes, you're actually getting at the root cause of the condition. And if, for example, gluten was your big trigger food, in many cases, I have seen people who have been able to wean off of thyroid hormone medications as well as never go on them just by going gluten-free. And you know, like I said, it depends on the person. So I never want to say nobody should take medications or everybody should take medications. I always recommend keeping an open mind and figuring out what's best for your body, because there's really no like one size fits all approach.
I love that you said that, because I'm really making sure that we focus on, you know, at Fitfluential, everything we do, whether it's on the podcast, on our website, on our social platforms, you know, we penned the tagline when I founded the company back in 2011, that Fitfluential is fitness found. And I feel like it's so appropriate now, not just on the fitness side, but, you know, each person has to find what works for them. And that's what I mean. That's how we're going to be defining. You've got to find your fitness. You've got to find what works for you on the nutrition side of things. You've got to find what you love and enjoy on the activity side of things. And that's how you develop something that you're going to enjoy and something that you're going to stick to and something that's going to benefit you. If you go into fitness and say, oh my God, I've got to fix my thyroid and I've got to, you know, go on a gluten-free diet and I've got it, my doctor tells me I have to walk, and you look at it like it's a punishment, you're not going to stick with it, and you're going to dread it, and you're going to resent it. Whereas if you look at, hey, this is my life. This is the one body I've been given. And I don't want to be just getting through the day. I want to be enjoying my life. I want to be, you know, as I get older, getting more active and having, you know, more vibrancy in my life, not degenerating. And that's very, very possible. So I love that you said that. I think it goes without saying, I'm curious if you have a lot of patients that come to you that you work with. And I don't know if patients or customers is a better word. But when they come to you, would you say?
I love the word clients, because clients play an active role in their healing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Would you say that you have to get over? I have had to learn. I'm a very impatient person. I think we live in a country where a lot of us are impatient. We want overnight results in our health, in our fitness, in our finances, in our job, in our marriage, whatever. But I have learned that you really have to kind of settle in and be willing to, I say, you know, kind of become your own scientist. You know, get a notebook, research what works for you. You've got to test out things like, you know, elimination diets, if you will, getting rid of gluten, reintroducing things, and seeing how it works. But I think a lot of people still think, oh, well, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, give me a pill and that'll get rid of it. And so my two questions to you are, number one, do you see that a lot with folks that you help, that they think that there's going to be a pill and it could be a quick fix and they can move on? And then, you know, number two, would you say, I kind of feel like Hashimoto's is something I'm going to be dealing with the rest of my life. I'm fine with that, because now I know that you can get better and significantly almost solve the problem. But is it something that's always going to be with you? That's my part two of the question.
Mm-hmm. So for part one of the question, when I used to work as a regular pharmacist and actually during my pharmacy studies, I was working as a pharmacy intern, and for a couple of years I would work in a community pharmacy, And at that time, you know, the patients that I did see, they were, you know, if they had a thyroid condition, majority of them were just interested in taking a pill. The people that I work with now, and now that I've, you know, do all of my advocacy work, the clients that I see now, they are really motivated to get their health back. So there, a lot of them are already on thyroid hormone or perhaps not yet ready to get started on it. And they're super interested in getting to the root causes and getting to the lifestyle. But I don't think that's the majority of people out there. I think the majority of people are like the people that used to walk into my pharmacy and just want to get a refill on their medications and hope that the pills solved everything. And unfortunately, that's not the reality for most people. And the ones that really get better and really thrive are the ones that take charge of their own health and play an active role in their healing journey and really work to become their own health experts, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And life changes when you do that, you know? I mean, I still have a lot of insecurity issues. And I mean, I was talking to my trainer about it today. You know, I said, I still pick myself apart sometimes, but at least I have the self-awareness to go, okay, unhealthy body attitude, let's stop that. And I can move forward. And I don't let things get me down like they used to, but I have really become fascinated. I enjoy research. What has really become clear to me is our bodies are so much more capable of becoming better and healing. And again, I'm 48 years old. My life is just getting started. I feel like I'm getting healthier and in my best shape ever. I feel better in my 40s than I did in my 20s. I have more energy, but it's been a process of several years. And so, you know, I encourage everybody, and we try to say this a lot on the show, look at, you know, commit to the long term, commit to the fact that the more that you invest in yourself with time and some money, yeah, you're going to have to make some changes. It's going to pay off in the long run and it's going to be worth it. I'm always wanting to, my next question is, again, I'm always thinking of the people that are listening that are maybe where I was 3 or 4 years ago, and they're so lost. They're so confused. They're so frustrated. They're being given the runaround. And so many of them, you know, are getting, we hear this a lot too, that, you know, their spouse is making fun of them. People at work are making fun of them and they feel very alone. And I think it might be helpful for those folks that are not further along the path to understand, you know, if I'm articulating this correctly, there's myriad things that can cause the development of Hashimoto's. Is that an accurate way to say it? Like, what is it that causes this situation? And I know there can be several answers there, but for those that are listening, like, I've always thought that too, like, how did I end up getting this? Why is it so common? Because it's very common. Is that right?
The condition is very common, so it affects actually anywhere from 13 to 28% of the population in the United States, depending on which studies we look at and how we really measure the condition and catching it in the early stages. And you had a previous question about if you have this condition, do you always have it? And basically, there are 5 stages to Hashimoto's. And the first stage is just having the genetic predisposition, where for all intents and purposes, you don't have the condition and you don't have any changes in your thyroid gland. There's nothing attacking your thyroid gland. You don't have autoimmunity and your thyroid hormone is normal. You don't have any thyroid-related symptoms. And the condition starts at stage 2, where you start getting an attack on your thyroid gland. And then that attack eventually leads to the breakdown of the thyroid, which then leads to your body not being able to produce enough hormones, which eventually results in hypothyroidism. That condition can be progressive, and that can lead to even additional cases of autoimmunity. That's known as stage 5 of Hashimoto's. And now what we can do is we can actually move, once we identify our triggers and what's causing the condition, we can actually move backwards in the stages, right? And so we can move from stage 5 and expressing these autoimmune conditions back to stage 4 and back to stage 3 and even back to stage 2 in some cases. We can move back to stage 1 if we're in the early stages where we go into remission. So we might still have the genetic predisposition to develop the condition. And if we're exposed to the triggers again, we would develop it. But as long as we eliminate the triggers, for all intents and purposes, we may not be expressing the condition any longer. Now, there is a caveat here is if somebody has had their thyroid gland destroyed by the immune system to the point where it's not functioning, the thyroid tissue regeneration, that is going to be a separate issue. So some people may not have symptoms because they're properly managed on thyroid hormone and they may not have autoimmunity anymore, but they'll still need to take that thyroid hormone to make sure they're getting enough of it because, you know, it's easier to prevent damage to the thyroid gland rather than regrow a thyroid. Although I do have some advanced strategies for regenerating thyroid tissue in Hashimoto's protocol. Now, as far as, you know, what are some of the triggers or root causes? It's going to be anything that makes our body feel like it's not safe. So this could be food sensitivities. This could be nutrient depletions. This could be stress, impaired ability to handle toxins, infections, as well as gut permeability. And any of these things can actually express Hashimoto's. So our Hashimoto's develops because our body recognizes that, you know, perhaps this isn't the best time to be burning calories. This isn't the best time to be focusing on growing hair and having a lot of energy and being out into the world. And the body then starts to attack the thyroid gland, leading us to becoming more withdrawn, more tired, helping us conserve our resources by helping us gain weight, right? So many people don't think this is so great, but in cavewoman times, this was a fantastic thing. If there was ever a famine, which food sensitivities and deficiencies basically make our bodies feel like we're in a famine, it was very protective to be holding on to our extra weight and to slow down our metabolism. So in a nutshell, really anything that causes our bodies to sense that our environment is not safe.
I just, as you were saying that, it made me think of something because I'm thinking it's kind of depressing that our lifestyle, I think in this country in particular, fosters such an it's almost easy, right, to get whether it's adrenal fatigue. I mean, I feel like I just went through the hormonal issues catalog and ordered, I'll have one of everything. Please give me like issues with testosterone, progesterone, you know, like everything. Hashimoto's, adrenal fatigue, cortisol issues, like. So I'm well versed, and I also understand when I look back at my life, 20 years of being on the birth control pill, which I didn't think anything of it at the time. Many, many years of doing what typical Americans do when they don't understand better, going to my doctor, I have an issue, give me an antibiotic. Oh, those don't work? Give me more antibiotics. Okay, just give me a pill. There's always a pill, high stress, yo-yo dieting. I understand all of these things led to a situation in my body where it was like, what in the world? Okay, we're going to start breaking down. And then I think about fast forward to now, and I'm certainly not finished. This is my lifestyle. But I think that everything that, as I've done my research, as I've read your book and underlined everything, and I'm telling you, like, I went out and bought every, it's because of you that I was taking, you know, this supplement or that. And I don't want to mention any because everybody, again, you've got to find out what works for you. But I followed all of that and I listened to your advice and the advice of others. And I think about how much I've changed my lifestyle for the better. And it has more downtime, more relaxation, soothing myself, not working like a workaholic. The things that the way that we should live, eating better foods, higher quality foods, focusing on sleep, getting sunshine. And all of that makes me think this is such a way of life over here, high stress, workaholism, all over the place. Is this something with Hashimoto's and the kind of high stress crazed lifestyles that are very common here that is typical in other countries? Or is this more like an American thing? And that might be a question you can't answer, but I'm curious if you know any data that backs that up.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about, I used to work in healthcare quality improvement, and we talk about how every single system is designed perfectly to get the results that it gets, right? And so, of course, in our modern society, and I think this is true for Western cultures all around the world, we have this high-paced lifestyle. We have a diet that's very highly processed. We have a lot of chemicals that we're exposed to. We're still not familiar with how to properly treat infections. And all of these things can contribute to us becoming ill. I feel like with the whole Western societies, and I can't speak for other societies because I haven't grown up in them or spent much time in them, but with our Western societies, there's this big disconnect between ourselves and our bodies and the messages that our bodies are trying to communicate to us. When I was working behind the counter at a pharmacy, you know, it was like you have acid reflux or you have stomach pain and you just reach for a medication to shut your body up, where if your stomach hurts, if you have acid reflux, that's your body trying to send you an important message. It's saying, hey, whatever you just ate, that is not working for me. I need to get rid of that, right? Or please do not eat that again. I'm trying to send you an important message. And through modern medicine, as helpful as it has been for so many things, I think in some ways we've lost the ability to properly care for ourselves, to be aligned with the subtle messages that our body sends us. And to me, you know, the whole thyroid journey, autoimmune journey has been really a journey of uncovering and understanding my body better and trying to understand what messages it's telling me. And it's been amazing because my body can tell me what foods do not work for me, what situations don't work for me. Once you kind of get into that, you know, it's a very amazing system that we have inside of us that can keep us healthy.
It really is true. And that's something I never used to do. And it's funny because I have realized, especially in increasing amounts, you know, I had eliminated dairy for the most part from my day-to-day experience. But then, you know, past couple of months, I was letting in, you know, oh, this healthy whey protein bar, that. And it just, I started to notice the side effects. And I started to go, okay, I think I used to be able to have like a piece of pizza and like a little bit of cheese here or there would be okay. But for whatever reason, I've come to realize, again, this has been very recent, I can't even have that. And just like you said, when you get to the point where you've made a lot of changes and you truly listen to your body, instead of doing what a lot of us do, what I used to do, which is if I broke out in a rash, I tend to get skin issues. Mm. So if I break out in hives or I get these skin bumps on my neck and my upper back, I used to just be like, oh, why am I doing this? I don't want to leave the house. Look at how bad these bumps look. Instead, I'm like, my body is saying something. Because that just, all of a sudden, to have this major outbreak of bumps on the back of my neck. So now I look at it like, okay, it's time to get Kelly Alexa, investigative journalist, out. Let me see what's going on here. Like, what have I done differently? And when you realize, okay, like I did, dairy, I mean, any dairy now makes me, I had 3 tablespoons of this dip, this smoked fish dip that I love that has cream cheese in. And I thought, oh, it's just no big deal. I'll just have 3 tablespoons. I was so sick, Isabella, from that 3 tablespoons. Never again. Now I'm going to like religiously watch out for dairy. But some people might go, what a pain. I think it's a gift because you know what? There's a billion things on this planet that we have at our disposal that are great, delicious, healthy, all natural organic foods that we can eat. Stop looking at what you can't eat and look at what you can and look at what your body's capable of. So I just love everything you said. I think that this is going to be highly informative for so many people that probably suspect that they have this. And what I'm most excited about is that everybody listening to the show afterwards is going to benefit because I know they're going to go. We're going to have everything linked up in the show notes. But I want you to, in 2 seconds, and I know I'm close to our time window, I want you to tell everybody, please and thank you, where they can find you online, and then I'll wrap up and just reiterate how much I love and adore everything that you've done because you're amazing. So where can people find you online,
Isabella? Sure, thyroidpharmacist.com. And if they go to thyroidpharmacist.com/gift, I have some recipes and quick start guides for them.
Awesome. And again, I just, from my own personal experience, if you've been following me for a while, you know I have talked about her and her book, the first book that I bought on my blog, on my YouTube channel. I have been a fan for so long. Everything that Isabella has written, past, present, and future, has been a significant part of why I am better. And for all of you suffering out there, I honestly, I cannot recommend enough. You can ask Isabella later. I stalked her to get her on the show because I can't recommend anybody more than her. I think you need to go to her website, look at all of the free resources she has. You will learn so much from her blog posts, from her. She's got several eBooks you can download. Get yourself a treat and get these books. You will want to like reserve a lot of time, get a pen out, sit down, start reading from start to finish. I promise you, you're going to feel a lot better about attacking your Hashimoto's and your autoimmune issues. You'll thank me later. All of that we talked about in the show today, will be linked up in our show notes on Fitfluential Radio. So thank you, Isabella, so much for being on the show. This was just the very tip of the iceberg of the expertise that you offer, but folks can get more of that in your books and on your website. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.